Okay. If you have your Bibles today, would you open them to Psalms 147? And I want to tell you while we're opening our Bibles, I want to tell you that this Sunday, the day that we choose as a church to just celebrate the holiday that is Thanksgiving. Now, keeping in mind that Thanksgiving in the Bible is not a holiday that's celebrated once a year. In the Bible, Thanksgiving is every second of every minute of every day. And we have so many reasons to be thankful for. And what I would like for us to do today, based on Psalm 147, is look at some reasons that we have to be thankful for. But, just in fairness, I'd like for us to then turn and look at the reasons why we're not. And so we're going to cover two things. We're going to go with that Thanksgiving from two angles today. But if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word as I read from Psalms 147. And I'm going to read the first seven verses. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and a praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. He counts the number of stars and calls them by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. And his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts down the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that all of us would be reminded that, Lord, we can look at our problems or we can look at the solution. And God, I pray that in this time that we have today, I pray that we would just look to you and that we would realize that you are God and that you are able. And God, you're the only person that's ever asked this question, is there anything too difficult for me? And the answer was no. And God, we can't believe that and not live it out. So I pray that you would take this truth and apply it to our hearts today. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Today, as we look at what it means to be thankful, I want to say this about Thanksgiving. In life, the further we go through it, the more we realize about it. And when we experience things that we have never experienced before, then we start to have compassion on people who have been through these things. And I want to say that when we talk about Thanksgiving, I want you to know my family is very well aware of why people don't like the holidays. You know, there are some people that when it gets close to this time of the year, when you start in this time of year, there is a dread that comes over them. And the dread is, oh no, here we go again. And all this is going to be is a celebration of really who's not here. Our family is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I understand what people are talking about when they talk about the dread of the holidays. But also, I want you to realize that when we talk about Thanksgiving, many weeks ago, I started a series about what it means to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And listen, if you have a problem that is so great that it causes you not to be able to be thankful, the only thing that that proves about us, whoever that would fall in that category, is you got the wrong God. Right? Come on now. You got the wrong God. Listen, if the worries and the cares and the troubles of this world make you doubt God, it's only because you don't know the God of the Bible. And what we're going to look at today is the fact that Thanksgiving is not an American holiday. We didn't invent this. Oh, yeah, the pilgrims celebrated it that day, and we've kept the tradition alive. But I would say that Thanksgiving is based completely on the Bible, on what God has done for us. I want to give you some context about some of the things the Bible says about Thanksgiving. I picked out these three verses, and they in no way cover everything that the Bible says. But in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 29, the Bible says, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been so thankful to God that the only thing you could do is just look up to heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for how good you are to me. Thank you for the blessings that you pour out in my life. Thank you for what I see you doing in my circumstance and in my situation. In Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 40, they were dedicating the temple and dedicating the walls, and the city of Jerusalem had risen from the ashes, and that's going to come up in Psalms 147. But the Bible said that they had two thanksgiving choirs that stood in the house of God, and they divided them up, and they were able to lead them as a choir of thanksgiving. I thought that was awesome. And then in Psalms 100, verse 4, the Bible says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Do you know how many times we forget that? Do you know how many times that we come into church and when we walk in those doors, when we come in, we forget that the Bible says that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. We should come in here bubbling over with the joy that we have because of the relationship that we have with the Lord. We should bubble over with joy because we know that in our difficulties, in our heartache, and in our circumstances, God is greater than what happens to us. And I would offer to you that there is a direct correlation when it says to enter his courts with praise. There is a direct correlation in the amount of time that we spend praising God, giving him glory, and the relationship that we have with him. Because this is what I would offer to you as we begin in Psalms 147. If we do not have a God that we don't find ourselves at some point just saying, hey, I got to tell you what God's done for me. When we just have that place, that time, when we just, I just want to use that word again. It just bubbles over and it just pours out of us about the goodness and the greatness and the awesomeness of God. I just want to say, if that's never happened to you, you just have the wrong God. Because when you know the God of the Bible, when you know the one who is able, when you know the one who asked the question more than once in the Bible, is there anything too difficult for me? And listen, we cannot say we know this God and walk around with a stuck-out lip. Look at verse 1 of Psalms 147. The first thing he does is he says, he just puts these three words out, praise the Lord. And listen, praise the Lord is a decision that every person has to make, either to do it or to not do it. And if you have a situational praise, in other words, you're going to find out what happens, and then when you see what happens, then you're going to decide. You'll never want it to be a reason either to praise the Lord or to not praise the Lord. The Lord or to not praise the Lord. And so after this personal decision, he says, it is good to sing praises to our God. Now, I'm so glad that my daughter is home from Haiti today. She is going to be the one that's going to back me up on this. I personally do not feel sorry for people who cannot sing. I feel sorry for people who can't sing and don't know it. All right. So, all right. There is nobody on planet Earth that likes to sing more than I do. I mean, sometimes when I pull in my driveway, I'm like, yep, that roof's a little bit higher because I've been in there letting it roll. But, Jordan, y'all's advice to me the entire time has been, when I would sing at home with all my heart, their advice would be, whatever you do, don't do that in public. All right? True or false? All right, she's shaking her head, yes, yes. They've always said, don't do that in public. I just want to say this, and I want to move on. How many people here like the Gaithers? You know, when there's like 150 of them. You know, when I sing, that's what I hear. Right? Nobody else hears that, but that's what I hear. And I'm going to tell you something. There ought to be some times in our life that we realize that singing has nothing to do with our voice. It's just about our heart. I mean, it's just about our heart. I mean, there are some times, I mean, I can honestly say for some reason, I don't know why the Lord has just made me like this, but, you know, I think about those really, really old songs that we used to sing back in the day. You know, I remember when they would say, you know, they would let you open the hymn book and you could pick out your favorite hymn. And everybody had one. Everybody had one. And, you know, I just think about those songs like At the Cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. You know, you learn those as a kid growing up in church. I never took a book and said, I'm going to memorize that verse of that song. You do that because you sing them over and over and over. But what we have to realize is that when we sing those songs from our heart, when we sing those words, holy, 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 when those words just come pouring out of our heart because we can't help it, I believe that's when it's the most pleasing to God. And in this verse, he gives us two reasons. He says the first reason is because it's pleasant. And that word means that it is a sweet sound. It means that it's pleasant. It means that it's delightful. And I would offer to you, based on the response that I've gotten from my family through the years, as I have been willing to sing, that might be just to the Lord. It might only be pleasant to Him, but after all, isn't that who we're singing to? Isn't that the one that truly matters? And then the second thing he says, and praise is beautiful. That means that it's fitting. It means that He is worthy of it. And I think it's very important that it just flow out of us. We just cannot help it. Like, I just want to say this about singing, and then we're going to move on. I have been devastated that Toby Mac has not called me to be a backup singer. I'm just saying. Hey, if he could hear me singing along with him on the radio, I mean, my phone would be ringing. So I just want to say that because I like that. But anyway, let's move on. You know what's astounding? One time my phone did ring, and it wasn't Toby Mac, shocking. But there was a person, and she was very upset, and she has since passed. But this individual was very upset, and she just basically screamed in my ear, "Where is God?" You ever felt like that? I mean, she was upset, and she just screamed in my ear. And before I could even say anything, the Lord reminded me of that verse that said, God inhabits the praises of His people. And you know what? You want God's attention. You know how you get it? You know, we can use the prophets of Baal. You don't get it by cutting yourself with knives. You don't get it by running around dancing and screaming. You know, you just start praising the Lord, and it is astounding how the Lord will show up. I cannot tell you how many times when I just needed to get my focus on the Lord, and I needed to get my focus on who He is and what He's done. And you can make a list of 1 to 100, and you think there's no way I can praise the Lord for 100 different things. But when you start, you'd be shocked. It's really not even difficult. One of the things that I like to do in my personal quiet time, I do this from time to time. I don't do it every day. I'm not about to tell an untruth. Start with the letter A and just say, God is awesome. And then B, God is beautiful. And then C, God is creator. D, God is deliverer. And you go through the alphabet. Some of them are more difficult for me. I mean, Z is a different, difficult one. You know, you have to invent a few words along the way. But it is astounding. I think the words you invent are more important than the ones you say because it makes you think about it. But what we realize is we have the greatest opportunity, and that is to each day make praising the Lord a part of it. Now, I also want to say this. I think it's equally as important that we praise the Lord when things aren't going well. I shared this on a Wednesday night. I actually shared this at the jail recently when I was up there. The people on Wednesday night looked at me like I'm crazy. The people at the jail looked at me like I'm crazy, but I'm not crazy. Listen, in the Bible, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. You know what I'm talking about? He talks about being the good shepherd. Not a shepherd, but the good shepherd. And one day I was having such a bad day. I remember I just started making this sound. Bah, bah. You know why? Because I needed the shepherd's attention. And when we praise the Lord, when we call on Him, there are some times we just need the Lord. Because you look at verse 2, he said the Lord builds up Jerusalem. They think this Psalms was written after Nehemiah had returned and rebuilt the walls. But what he's talking about when he says builds up Jerusalem, why he's praising the Lord is because Jerusalem was a forgotten place. The people were, it was over. It was too late. The walls were destroyed. There was nothing that could be done. And then the Lord showed up and the Lord rebuilt that city, and it's still there today. And the Bible says that He gathers the outcast from Israel. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you were the forgotten one? Yeah, have you ever felt like that there, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. But I want to read you a verse from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." When I read that phrase, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous," you know what? That makes me want to do right. That makes me want to do what God requires, what God says. And to know that His prayers that His ears are open to our prayers. Because don't you want to know that no matter what situation, no matter what circumstance, no matter what difficulty you face, you can call on the Lord. And you know you're going to be heard. You know that when you call on Him, you're going to be heard. And then look at verse 3. The Bible says that he heals the brokenhearted. Listen, I wouldn't ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee you, even today, there are people in this room that have a broken heart. Have a broken heart. And the reason that you have broken hearts is because life's not fair. Life doesn't go the way you want it to. Things don't work out the way you think they would or should or could. But you know what? The Bible said, and he binds up their wounds. That word means hurt, injury, pain. And if there's one thing that I've learned in the last 2 years since my wife died, verse 3 is true. Amen. Verse 3 is true. That's not words that are just written on a piece of paper. They didn't just write these things down randomly. It is true. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know that it's true, you got the wrong God. You've got some version of the Southern Baptist Jesus. You got some, but you do not have the God of the Bible, because look at the next verse. You know what the Bible said? It said he counts the number of the stars. Can your God do that? Huh? Can your God do that? It said he counts the number of the stars and calls them by name. I couldn't resist looking on the internet. There are 10 billion galaxies. All right? So they say. You know, 10 billion. And the number of stars in each one is assumed to be 100 billion. Their best estimates is it's a 1 with 21 zeros. That means there are a billion trillion stars. And he knows them by name. Now, what can your God do? Next question. If you know that God, how do we walk around with a stuck-out lip? How do we walk around with a stuck-out lip? This morning, when the sun was coming out, up, I was looking out the window. And what was astounding is the sun is obviously going south. And so where the sun was coming up, where I live, those of us that live down there, we're going to know what I'm talking about, but it was coming up over Hebron Hill. So it had been up for a minute before it got up over the hill. And so I'm standing there and I'm watching it. And I can see when I look back to the east, I can tell that it's coming up over Hebron Hill. Like it's inching on up over that big hill. But what was astounding is I have this little shed. I call it a shed aluminium behind my house because it costs too much just to be a shed. So I had to throw me some aluminium on there. But I have this shed, and on the side, it's got this white metal. And I just stood there, and I could look back to the east, and I could see the sun coming up. And then I was watching the shadow of this tree. And the higher the sun got, then the shadow just kind of appears on this little white wall. And it's this very fuzzy, dark shadow, but the higher the sun got, the brighter that shadow got. And I just stood there and watched the shadow of this tree become visible on this white wall. And then it's as if the Lord said, if I can do that, I can do anything. And for anybody that believes in evolution, and anybody that believes in the Big Bang Theory, and anybody that believes in anything other than a sovereign God of the universe, let your God do that. Let your God do that. Because verse 5 says, great is our Lord. That word in the Hebrew means magnanimous. That's a good word. That is a good word. Magnanimous. That's the God that we worship. He says the Lord is great is our Lord and mighty in power. Says his understanding is infinite. In other words, he knows everything. But this great and mighty God that could use this power to do anything, verse 6 says the Lord lifts up the humble. That word means to be oppressed, the afflicted. And the idea is that God cares. Now, I want to ask you a question. I don't know the answer to this. I just accept it by faith because it's what the Bible says. But how could there be a God that puts a sun in the sky, makes our planet rotate around it? We're going around it. The planet Earth is spin. How does God do all that? To be able to do that with a spoken word and then be concerned about me. I have no idea. I have no earthly idea how this awesome, wonderful God could care about me. But you know what? He does. He does. He cares about us. And the Bible not only says he cares about us, but the Bible says that he lifts up the humble. But notice the Bible says that he casts down the wicked. In verse 7 it says, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God. And this is what's amazing about this word when he's talking about to sing with thanksgiving. He's talking about out of our hearts, when we realize the graciousness of God, we realize the glory of God, we realize the power of God, that our singing with thanksgiving is nothing but a response to his divine love. And we have to realize that we are so blessed. We are so just blessed to be able to know who God is and to know the love that he's poured out on us and to know the provision that he has made for us. I want to tell you this before we move on. Everybody has to choose. You and I, we are as thankful as we want to be. That's what we are. We are as thankful as we want to be. We praise the Lord as much as we want to praise him. But each one of us individually has to decide. We have to make the decision in our heart, what are we going to do? Are we going to praise God or are we not? Now, I've said this before. I hadn't looked. I know that somebody else probably said this because it's too obvious not to be true. I don't think I'm the first person that ever said it. But I want to say this before we flip to the other side. I've noticed in my life, when I count my blessings, I can't find my problems. And when I count my problems, I can't find my blessings. And all that is to say this, wherever we put our focus, that's all we're going to be able to see. And I would like to say that even though life is hard, life is unfair, the good guys don't always win, our God is worth it. And at some point in our life, we just have to say, I'm not going to worry about that. At some point, that's not the most important thing. At some point, we just have to turn our attention toward the Lord. And I only say this because I've been there, but I guarantee you there are people in here this morning who hadn't heard a word of the songs that we sang, didn't hear a word of the prayers, didn't hear a word of the song that Katie sang, because you're sitting there thinking about something you got to do tomorrow. Can I say this respectfully? Who cares about tomorrow? It might not even come. Who cares about yesterday? It's gone. It's not coming back. The only thing that matters is now. Having said that, turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. You can hold your place in Psalms. We're going to come back to Psalms 100. But you can flip to Ephesians chapter 4. Because when we look at Philippians chapter 4, I said Ephesians, I meant Philippians. When we look at these passages, the reason I want you to look at them is because I want you to draw the parallel in your own life. Where are you? Are you this person that praises God? Or, like Philippians chapter 4 says, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. And then what are the first four words of verse 6? Did I not give you all enough time to get there? I'll tell you. Be anxious about everything. Is that what it says? Does it say be anxious about some things? Does it say be anxious for nothing? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer and supplication, that's request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Now, I would like for you to just answer in your heart. Don't answer to me. Just answer in your heart to the Lord. Do you think that when, I'll use myself, do you think when I'm anxious and just about everything, that is a mode that reflects faith? Actually, what it says is, I don't have any faith. Or it says, I have faith, but it's in a God that can't do anything. And so when we let our supplications be known, when we let our requests be known to God with thanksgiving, we need to understand who it is that we pray to. We have to understand what he's capable of doing. And many times we don't realize what he's capable of doing until we go through that situation that's impossible, that we think we never could, and we get to the other side of it and we go, wow, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is good. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This one's really good to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going to wait a little longer this time. I'm going to stall. I'm going to stall for a minute or two. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." All right, now, most of us as Southern Baptists would argue somebody down that salvation is only by grace. In other words, it's the unmerited favor of God. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. God just offers it to us, and it is received into our heart as a gift given to us by him. But notice, if you're looking at the verse, it says that grace, and then it says, having spread through the meaning, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. And listen, if we believe in the unmerited favor of God, that is lived out as a life that's lived out with thanksgiving. Now, I want y'all to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and then I'm going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain." And this is what those two words mean. The word godliness means an attitude and style of life that acknowledges God's claim on the human life and seeks to live in accordance to his will. All right, that's what it means. But the word contentment means an internal satisfaction that does not demand changes in an external circumstance. Now I want to ask you something. Do you know how thankful you can be when you have contentment that's rooted in godliness? Because there are so many times in our life, and I could give only examples there. I would have no example from anybody in this room's life but me. But do you know how many times I have fallen into the if only trap? You know what the if only trap is? If this person would only, if I could only, I call it the if only trap. The if-only trap is from the devil. Contentment with godliness is from the Lord. And there are times in our life when we have to acknowledge this situation is not going to change. And then the question we have to ask is, this situation is not going to change, then what is going to be my response? And everything that happens to us, and I'm talking about negatively in this life, is either going to make us bitter or it's going to make us better. And who gets to decide? We do. We do. Each one of us gets to choose. Each one of us gets to say what we're going to do as a result of what happens to us. And I would just say this, godliness demands thankfulness. Godliness demands that we are thankful. Now, I want to say this. When we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we are looking at some of those verses in the Bible. When I teach my fifth and sixth graders, we've been working to get some things straight. And there's been some times with the fifth and sixth graders that, to be honest with you, my personal opinion was they were just a little too cavalier about their sin. You know what I'm talking about? There's a little smile was a little too big on their face when they said, "No, I didn't read my Bible this week." You know, we can just go down and man, it's like, so now they know not to do that. You know what I'm talking about? They don't want to hear that speech for the 800th time. But there are some times in our life when we read verses in the Bible and we just say we believe them and we just blow them off. Because then we'll follow it up with, "Well, I've always been like this," or "I've always done this." Let's don't be like this. I'm just going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34, and I would say to myself, If this shoe fits, I need to wear it. All right? So, talking to myself. Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why then do you worry about clothing? Consider the lily of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And then look what he says. O you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, notice when he said don't worry, he did not say don't worry because you will have no troubles. He said today has got enough trouble of its own. And so there's no need for us to worry about something else. We need to take care of today. I would like to tie this back into Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but let your request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Listen, do we really believe that God put a billion trillion stars in the universe? I personally do. Personally. I personally believe it's probably more than that. Every time they think they figured something out, they go up. You know, remember when they used to tell us in school there were nine planets? Now, they don't tell them that anymore. They figured it out. They're way more than nine. And what we have to realize is, if God is who this book, this Bible says he is, how can we say we have faith in him and walk around with a stuck-out lip? How can we say we have faith in him and not believe? How can we say we have faith in him and not trust? How can we say that we have faith in him and not expect? How can we say that something is going to happen to me that God cannot use for his glory? And the answer is it can't if we have the God of the Bible. So, as we go into our invitation, I want you to read, turn back to Psalms 100. I told you I was going to close with this. I love Psalms 100. I started to preach on it today, but I don't know, the Lord led me to Psalms 147. But in Psalms 100, five verses, the Lord says to us through the psalmist, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Listen, if you're here today, and you know in your heart, if you was going to describe yourself, and you may not like this description, but you won't know. Nobody will know if you fall in this category. But sometimes spiritually, it's impossible not to have a stuck-out lip. Don't I do that good? Right? You go into the Thanksgiving season, And you know it's going to be rough. And you know it's going to be hard. And then you know the only thing worse than Thanksgiving is Christmas. And you know it's coming. I want to tell you something. The Bible says, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for us. Would you do that today? Not just be the person who listens and not just be the person who hears and not be the person that says, boy, I'm glad I went to church today. But the person that actually takes these words, applies them to your heart, and does what He says. That's the invitation today. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, as we bow before You today, God, we do come before You very humbly. God, we come before You knowing that You are the great God of the universe. God, we come before You knowing You are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. God, we come before You knowing that You're the God that hovered over the nothingness and spoke and created everything. God, we know that you're the one who parted the Red Sea. You're the one that sent Moses to get the children of Israel. You're the one that gave water out of a rock. You're the one that sent fire down from heaven when Elijah prayed. And God, You're the one that walked on the water. And You're the one that fed the 5,000. And You're the one that has done all these astounding and amazing things. And God, I pray that God, Lord, would be evident in our heart. That God that can, that God that will, that God who's able. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded of who we serve. God, I never want to make light of people's problems. I never want to make light of their difficulties, never want to make light of the heartache, and never want to make light of their circumstance. But God, I will say with boldness, You are greater than what happens to us. And God, if we cannot worship You with a broken heart, then God, why would we want to worship You when our heart's not broken? If we can't worship You when we don't know what to do, we don't know which way to turn, we don't know what's going to happen, then why would we want to when we could? And God, I believe that our praises to You are the sweetest when they come from that deepest, darkest place that's way down inside of us that sometimes we don't even realize is there until everything else is removed. God, You're an awesome, wonderful God. And as much as it is wonderful and glorious to talk about You in light of these things, God, one day we're going to see You face to face. And Lord, when we do, I think our first response is going after the wow. I think our first response is going to be, if I'd only known. God, You're wonderful and You deserve more than we can give You. So, Lord, we love You and pray all these things.